Blog Talk Radio.
I want to say good afternoon to each and everyone that is listening already. The lines are lighting up, and I just want to thank God for each and every one of you. This is probably one of the most exciting time of my week whenever we get to meet in this fashion, and I can talk to you on Blog Talk Radio. It is such a joy and a pleasure to be able to share the Word of God with each and every one of you, and to know that you too are interested and find the program interesting enough so that you are able to join us week after week and to be here with us. So I want to thank you. You know, the week seemed to be going by so fast because it seemed as though it was only yesterday we were on the line and we were having that program and we were talking about, you know, being in Christ Jesus and what that means and all of that. And 1 week went by already. And now it's Friday again, and here we are. So I just want to say welcome to each one of you. And as our opening song says, don't you ever let anybody turn you around. No matter what you may be going through in life, know that God is on your side. He was with you from the very beginning. You know, in the book of Jeremiah, we are told that before God even formed Jeremiah in his mother's womb, God knew him and had ordained him to be a prophet. And I want to say that so it is with each and every one of us. Before we were even created or came into being within our moms, I want you to know that God had a plan for your life. And there's a reason why you're still alive today, and there's a reason why you are here with us today. So nothing with God is by chance, and everything that he is doing, he is working it out for our good. Even the trials that we go through sometimes, you know, it's like putting gold in the fire. If you really want to see the real brilliance of gold, it has to go through the fire. You know, without the fire, a gold is just, if you look at the natural gold when it's dug up from the earth, when they just bring it up, it don't look like much. It is not as shiny and beautiful as it is when, you know, after it's been passed through the fire. In order for the brilliance of gold to come out and for it to really shine, it must go through the fire. And then all the dross and all the impurities is burned out of it, and then the pure stuff remains. And when that stuff remains, that's when the gold shine and become brilliant and become something of worth and real value. And so it is with us. Sometimes we think trials are there to keep us, you know, in a state of, in a state of sorrow and pity, self-pity and all the rest of it. But no, the trials that we face day by day are there to help us to become better. And we're going to learn about a woman that went through trial in her life today. And she was actually caught doing something that she would not or she should not have been doing. And with that, I just want to say welcome to my co-host, Sister Jackie Grace. Jackie, how are you doing? All right. I believe. Jackie, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
Okay. I wasn't getting you before.
I'm getting a feedback online. All right. So how are you doing, Jackie?
I'm doing great. Praise God. We've been enjoying here a beautiful sunny day. It seems like a spring day. Thank God for it. We know that later on we'll have in some cooler weather, but today we want to enjoy this one because it wasn't promised to us, and we are here by God's grace. So thank God for this one.
That's right. That's right. Praise the Lord. We are here another Friday, and I was just saying a little bit earlier that it seemed as though it was only yesterday that we were doing this program. The week went by so fast. I'm going to introduce our program for today at this time, and I'm going to let Jackie give a little bit of synopsis on it. Today we are talking about a woman who was caught in adultery, and that story is found in the book of John, the 8th chapter, and it's from verses 3 through 11, John 8, 3 through 11, the woman caught in adultery. She was caught red-handed, and that was some story. But the fact that this woman was caught in adultery, she was caught in the very act, and the fact that she was guilty before God and before the world because she was doing something that she should not have been doing, and not only should she not have been doing, she was, you know, as far as the Jews were concerned, and she being a Jew herself, that was something that was punishable by death, adultery. And so it was looked upon as a vile sin and something that people should not be doing, but there she was, and she was caught in it. And I always wonder, because they brought this woman before Jesus, where was the man that was with her? But I guess our teacher is going to talk more about that. And I just wonder, how come they were able to catch this woman in the very act of committing adultery? That seemed to be like a setup to me. But anyhow, our teacher is Pastor Larry Milliken, and he's going to talk more about that story tonight. But Jackie, what is your thinking about that? How come this woman was caught in the very act like that? How that happened?
Well, we know that thou shalt not commit adultery is the seventh among the 20 in Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments. So thou shalt not commit adultery. Yet they caught this woman red-handed, as you said. But look at this picture. It wasn't about the woman. They brought him, almost humiliating him, maybe. With clothes, not appropriate clothes, you know, but this was to find Jesus in something to accuse him, not all about the woman, because if it was about the woman, where is the other part of who they caught her with? Maybe some of these people who were accusing him could be even part of the act at some point, you know, but here they were pointing out this to see what Jesus would say to accuse him. But here, remember, we need to be reminded that Jesus came not to condemn, but that through him we might be saved, you know. A lot of time when we find people doing wrong things, we shouldn't just jump on them and point out the sins they're doing. We should just take them apart, pray with them, and, you know, something like this, or do it with love, not with this ridiculing and humiliating the person, because we all come short of the glory of God, and we should not judge because we try to clean out the speck out of somebody else's eye, you know, before we clean out our own. But here this woman found mercy, praise God. Jesus did not condemn her, you know, but forgave her and told her to go and sin no more. You know, I just want to paint a little illustration here. If we would just take our hand and imagine somebody is in front of us and take our index finger and point at that person, what happened here? There will be four fingers pointing back at us. And friends, we stand alone before God. So who am I to point out somebody else's sin if I am a sinner also? You know, sinner saved by grace, praise God. He did not condemn me. He gave me a second chance, you know. So I just wanted to share that.
Amen. Amen. And thank you so much for that. And you are so right, because, like you said, adultery is the seventh commandment, right? And she was breaking that commandment. And like I said, she was one of the Israelites. And that was a particular commandment that was punishable by death. But do you think that that is more of a vile sin more than something like lying or coveting or envying or one of those other things? Is adultery worse than any of those? Jackie, I'm asking you that question.
No, all sins are sins, whether it's small, big, adultery, killing, they're all sins, you know? And when we break one, we are guilty of all.
Hmm. So you're saying that even a white lie is still sin, right?
Yes, it's a lie. Wherever you take it from, it's still a lie.
Mm-hmm.
You remember, we could remember the case of David. He committed adultery also, and he was guilty of all, you know?
Mm.
He break all ten.
Mm-hmm. That's right, yep. That's right. And we find that in Galatians 3 and 22 says that whosoever, you know, no, I think it's Romans 3:23. Right?
Romans 3:23, we ask Paul short of the glory of God.
For all have sinned, right, and come short of the glory of God. So none of us is more righteous or more holy than the person who might be committing adultery, or the person who was caught here in the case was this woman. And like I said, it seemed to be that it was just a setup, because where was the man, you know? In order to commit adultery, you must have two persons. And by the way, for those who might be wondering what adultery is having sex with someone to whom you're not married, or not even to whom you're not married, but having sex with a married person who is not your husband or your wife. So if you are having, you know, a sexual relationship with somebody that is not your wife or not your husband, and that person is a married person, that is adultery. Now, if you're not married and that person that you're having sex with is not married, you know, and both of you are having sex outside of marriage, then that is fornication. So that was the difference. That is the difference between the two. So fornication is when unmarried people are having sex, and then adultery is when you have married person, either one or both persons are married, but they're having sex with somebody to whom they're not married. So that's the difference between the two. And the fact that this woman was caught in adultery, it's telling us that either she was married to somebody, or the person with whom she was having sex with was married to somebody already. And so they were, you know, and they were having sex outside of their marriage relationship. And so that was what was going on. And this was why it was punishable by death. So just to give you a little background as to what was going on here and why this sin was seen to be so terrible. And then they brought her before Jesus, and Jesus did something remarkable. But I'm not going to tell you about that, because I see our teacher, Pastor Larry Milliken, is on the line. And Pastor Milliken, I just want to welcome you. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
All right. Thank you so much for being here with us. So what we're going to do, we're going to play our song of meditation. And after that song, we're going to have prayer. And then, Pastor, you're going to go into the study for this afternoon. So again, I just want to thank each and everyone that is listening. Thank you so much for being with us. And we're going to listen to Walking in Sunlight.
walking in sunlight all of my journey, over the mountain, through the deep vale. Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee, promise divine that never shall fail. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine. Shadows above me, shadows about me, never conceal my Savior and God. He is my light in him is no darkness. Ever I'm walking close to his side. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine.
Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much that you are a God of love and of mercy. Like the woman that was caught in adultery, Lord, many a times we have sinned and we are guilty of doing what is wrong in your sight. Others may not know. We might not have been caught. We might not have been dragged out in public, half-dressed, half-naked, so that we can be humiliated and shamed when we sin. But Lord, we know that our sins are not hid from you, and you know all about us and about what we do and the way we act. And so at this time, we just ask you to forgive us and help us to see how your love can do for us far more than we can think or ask or even desire. Even when we are guilty, you are able to save us from the guttermost, even to the uppermost. And we thank you so much for that. Bless us now as we go into your study. Bless each and every listener that is with us. Bless our teacher, Pastor Milliken, and help that by thy grace, that one day soon, all of us will be able to see you for ourselves and go home and live and reign with you forever. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good evening, everyone. It's good to be able to visit with you and share with you this evening. I trust you've had a good week and that the Lord has been working in your lives. And I'm just so blessed to be able to share with you this evening some of the scriptures from God's holy word. I'm thankful that we have a wonderful Lord, a wonderful Savior. So I'd like to invite you tonight to think with me about the times when our God writes. It must be very important when God himself writes, and we're going to look at that this evening, and I'm sure we're going to be blessed because we're going to be opening God's word and sharing together. And our first passage is found in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 8. And I want to just read the passage with you, and we'll make comments as we go along. John chapter 8, and we'll begin at verse 2. John 8, verse 2. If you have your Bibles or your cell phones, whatever you use to get to the Bible if you turn there and follow along, or just listen, whatever is best for you. It says, but early in the morning, Jesus came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Oh, what a privilege it must have been for the people to be able to listen to Jesus teach them. I wish we could do that face-to-face again today. Unfortunately, we don't have Jesus teaching you tonight. You have a human teacher by the name of Larry Milliken, but I pray that God's Holy Spirit will still be with us and speak to our hearts.
Amen.
And then it says, then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him, we could say dragged to him, a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded that such should be stoned. But what do you say? Wow. Here they dragged this woman in. I'm sure she didn't want to come. I don't know if she was fully clothed. But they caught her right in the very act of adultery. But you know what's interesting? The little I know, if she was in adultery, there must have been a man involved. Amen?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's right. A woman can't commit adultery by herself. There must be a man. Why didn't they drag him in, too? But somehow, they didn't do that. And you know, I find in society, we still have that double standard sometimes. We expect more of women than men sometimes. And that's not right. That's not fair. But anyway, here they dragged her in and put her right in front of Jesus and said, Moses, in the law, he's talking about the Old Testament scriptures, first five books of the Bible, commanded that such should be stoned. What do you say? Wow. Now notice verse 6. This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. You know, I believe that they've set that woman up. They purposely set her up, trapped her, led her into adultery so they could drag her into Jesus, and they were hoping that Jesus would say, go ahead and stone her, and then they would report Jesus to the religious, to the Roman rulers and say, you know, Jesus is setting up his own rules. He's taking in his own hands the laws of the land. They were setting him up. If, on the other hand, he just said, let her go, well, that wouldn't be upholding the word of God. So what was Jesus to do? Well, reading on, it says, but Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. This is one of those times Jesus wrote, God wrote. He stooped down, knelt down, didn't say anything, began to write there on the ground. Actually, a better translation might be in the dust or in the sand, likely dust with his finger, as though he didn't hear. He just kept writing. So when they continued asking him, so they were still bugging him, saying, Master, what are you going to do? What are we supposed to do? He raised himself up and said to them, he who is without us sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. One of you among us here who doesn't have any sin, you throw the stone first. Wow. And I'm sure that poor woman, she expected the stones to start flying, but nothing happened. Nothing happened. They were all silent. And again, it says he stooped down and rolled on the ground. So this is the second time. He stooped down and rolled again. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one. Ooh, they just began to leave, one by one. It says, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. Jesus must have known the age of everyone. So he started with the oldest, and then went to the youngest, and they all left. And it says, and Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. Now I wonder, let's stop again in our passage. I wonder what Jesus wrote. You know, the Bible doesn't tell us, but it certainly hints at it strongly. I believe he wrote out the secret sins of those men who were accusing that woman. Those self-righteous men who thought they were so good and had dragged her in and were going to have her stoned. I think he wrote their sins in the dust, starting at the oldest to the youngest. And that's why they left. They looked over what he was writing. And I'm sure their faces turned red, embarrassed, because there was their sins, one by one. Wow. Verse 9 says, those who heard it were convicted by their conscience. So he must have been writing their sins until all were gone. And Jesus was left alone with the woman. And then verse 10 says, when Jesus raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Wow. You know, Jesus didn't come into this world to condemn us. He knew that we were all sinners. He knows our sins. He knows the mistakes that I've made. He knows the mistakes of each one of us. But he doesn't broadcast our mistakes to others. He doesn't want to embarrass us, or he doesn't want to stone us and accuse us. No. He wants to help us realize, though, that he comes to save us, to die for us. Yes, we've all made mistakes, but Jesus came to forgive our sins and to give us salvation. He died in our place that we could go free. He says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. And I'm sure he reached over and maybe took her hand, or maybe lifted up her chin, looked her in the eye and said, I don't condemn you, but don't go doing it again. Go and sin no more. You know, Jesus could have written those sins of all those men who condemned her so everybody else could read them. But he didn't do that. He wrote it on sand or dust or in the earth that a wind could come along and blow them all away. No, he was not trying to embarrass them, just as he doesn't embarrass us. He doesn't point out all our mistakes. That's not our wonderful Lord. And so he wrote it on dust. And the wind come, or maybe he could just wipe his hand. It's all gone. They're wiped out. Oh, I'm so glad that when I confess my sins to Jesus, he does that with my sins. He just wipes them out. He says, I don't condemn you. I forgive you. Go and sin no more. Oh, what a wonderful Savior have. Isn't that powerful? Wow.
Yes, sir.
Powerful. Jesus is not condemning us. He's trying to save us. And the next verse says, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. You know, I think it's very appropriate, Brother Don, that song you have made about the light.
Yes.
Walking in that sunlight. Amen?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Jesus is the light. How appropriate that was. Mm-hmm. Well, this was not the first time now that God wrote, though. This was a very important time when Jesus was here on earth. But you know, I know another time. And it's found way back in the Old Testament in the book of Exodus. And I want to talk to you tonight about when God writes more than one time. And here we have another time. And I'm going to the second book of the Bible, the book of Exodus. And I'm going to experience when the children of Israel gathered around Mount Sinai. And Moses had gone up to the mountain and had spent 40 days with the God of heaven and earth there on the mountain. And the people were down waiting for Moses to come back again. They were told not to touch the mountain, not come near it, because God was there. That was a holy place. Wherever God is, that is holy. And
Amen.
While Moses was in the mountain, God gave Moses a special gift for Moses, for the people of Israel, and for all of us for all time. And God wrote, here it is, Exodus 31 and verse 18. Exodus 31 and verse 18. It says, and when he had made an end of speaking, that means when God had made an end of speaking with him, with Moses on Mount Sinai, he gave Moses two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone, written with the finger of God. Oh, God wrote the Ten Commandments, these tablets of testimony on stone, with his very finger, written with the finger of God. Just like Jesus, many years later, stooped down and wrote with his finger on the dust, on the earth, the sand. God had wrote the Ten Commandments on two tables of stone. Now, why two tables? Why not just one? Well, as we read over in Matthew, in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus talks about these commandments and what they really mean and what God was trying to teach through them. And I'm going to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. And beginning at verse 36. One of the Pharisees came to Jesus and said, Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Which is the most important of those Ten Commandments? Which is the great one? Which is the most important one? Well, that's a good question, isn't it? Jesus said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Yes, the first tablet of stone that God wrote, the first four commandments were on it, and have our obligations to God. The second table of stone, which God wrote with his own finger, are the last six commandments, and they have to do with our obligations to one another. So the first table has to do with our responsibility to God, the second table to our fellow men. And what does God want from us? Well, he wants our love. We're to love God. And if we love God, we'll gladly obey those commandments. The first one, thou shalt have no other gods before me. We'll put God first. We're not going to make any idols or bow down to other things. We're going to worship God alone.
Amen.
The third commandment talks about how we're to not take God's name in vain and cursing and swearing or idle, irreverent words. No, we're going to respect God. The fourth commandment has to do with our worship. We're to worship him on the Sabbath. Then the second table starts with our family, our parents. Honor our father and mother. Honor our parents. Well, that's the foundation, isn't it, of our relationships on earth, our parents, families. And then we're not to murder, or we're not to commit adultery, as that woman did. No, we're not to do that. And we're not to steal or lie or to covet what belongs to others. So when God wrote the Ten Commandments, though, he didn't write them on dust or on the earth or on paper. He wrote them on stone. Why stone? Because he's trying to tell us those Ten Commandments, they stand forever. They're his eternal principle. We're always to recognize that those commandments are enforced for people of all time, all races of people. It doesn't matter who we are. We're not to dishonor our parents. We're not to murder. Murder is a terrible thing. Committing adultery breaks up families and hurts our own souls. We're not to steal. No, we're to be honest. And we're not to lie or covet what belongs to others. We should only do these things as we love God, as we love God supremely, and as we learn to love our neighbor as ourselves. And that's what Jesus said. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with your soul, with your mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Yeah, that's a summary of it. Wow. And so I would suggest to each one of you this evening and to myself that what a privilege we have, first of all, to acknowledge, because we can't hide it anyway, that we have sinned. We've all broken those laws one way or other. None of us have been free of sin. Oh, we may not have gone out and murdered somebody. We may not have committed adultery in the physical act, but Jesus expanded on it when he was here and said, if we hate somebody or angry at somebody without a cause, we've committed murder in our heart. Or if we lust after somebody, that's like committing adultery in our hearts. And if we're coveting other things, again, it starts in our hearts. So I'd suggest we admit that we've broken God's laws. We haven't always put him first. We have worshipped other things. We have let the things of this world absorb our attention. We've all done wrong things. But come to him and say, dear Lord, I've sinned. Please forgive me. Blot out my sins. Wipe my sins away. Yes, the law stands, but blot out my sins. Write my sins, as it were, in the sand and blow them away. And Jesus says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us in all unrighteousness. Just like he did that woman, he wants to forgive each one of us. Wow, what a God. What a God. So yes, we recognize that the law is right. It's holy and just and good, as Paul described it over in Romans. The law is perfect. God is perfect and his rules are always just and right. You know, man makes many rules, hundreds of laws. God basically boiled it all down to 10, the 10 commandments. And those laws are perfect and right and good. But we can't keep them in our own strength. Something else has to happen. And this is the third time that God writes. And I want you to turn one more, if you're following in your Bible, way over to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews in the New Testament. The book of Hebrews and chapter 8, and I want to notice verse 10. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. And I'm so glad that God writes again. And this is what it says. Hebrews 8 verse 10. For this is the covenant or the agreement or the promise that I will make with the house of Israel, that means all of us, after those days, said the Lord, I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Oh, I want the Lord to write his principles, those holy laws, in my heart and mind. How do you feel about it tonight? I hope you have the same desire. Yes, we've come to Jesus. We've acknowledged we've sinned. We've made mistakes. But we trust him to forgive us, to wipe away our sins. And then we want him to write those same laws, those Ten Commandments, in our minds, where we delight to do his will. We seek to do his will. We find our greatest pleasure in serving and loving and obeying God. Yes, he promises, I will put my laws in their mind. That means if we let him, he never forces us to do it. He never compels us. We always have free choice. We have the privilege of saying, yes, Lord, please do that. Or we can say, no, and harden our hearts against him. But if we open our minds, he says, I'll put my laws in their mind. and write them, write them on their hearts, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my. Oh, Lord, please write your law on our hearts tonight. Do that miracle work that only you can do. Do it through the work of your Holy Spirit, speaking to us, transforming our lives, getting us new desires, new goals, new purposes. You know, a few weeks back, we talked about Nicodemus and how Jesus said we must be born again. And really, that's what it's talking about here, too. If he writes his laws in our hearts, it means we have a change of life, like a new beginning. And we find our greatest joy in loving and serving God and keeping his commandments. And by the way, keeping his commandments, it is important not to gain his love. Oh, no, no, we don't earn his love. But because we believe he does love us and we want to serve him and love him. You know, Jesus put it this way in John 14, verse 15. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments.
Amen.
And it could be translated, as some do, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Yes, if we love God, we're going to serve him. We're not going to worship other gods. We're going to honor him. We're not going to bow down to idols. We're not going to curse and swear and use his name. And we're going to find pleasure in worshiping him on his holy day. And yes, if we love people around us because of his change of heart, we're not going to murder them, of course not. We're not going to commit adultery or steal or lie and so forth. We're not going to do those things because our lives have been changed. And I think God has been working, I believe this, on your hearts as he's been working on mine, and I'm glad for that. And I don't think you got up this morning and you didn't have to say, you know, I'm not going to murder anybody today. I don't think anybody you thought that. Or, I'm not going to commit adultery today. No, you didn't think that, I'm sure. Or, you're not going to worship other gods. No, God has been working on your hearts. I sense that as I've listened to some of your testimonies and as I've heard some of your expressions. And I sense that you want the Lord to keep changing your heart and your life and giving you that new life. So as I conclude my few remarks this evening, I want you to remember those three times, especially when God writes, actually when he wrote the Ten Commandments, the tables of stone, with his own finger, when Jesus wrote the sins of those people in the dust, and how he wants to write his principles in our hearts and lives. As I close, I would like to pray for each listener tonight. Could I do that? Let's just bow our heads and let's pray. Oh, gracious Lord, you're such a wonderful God. We've all fallen short of your glory. We've all sinned, as Paul put it. We've all broken your law one way or other, some of us more than others. But you don't condemn us. You didn't come to condemn us. No, you came to save us, dear Jesus, and to wipe away our sins. So take our sins away tonight. We confess that we're not worthy of your love, but we come because you're drawing us with your Spirit. And please, write your holy law in our hearts and minds, each person listening tonight, each one of us. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And amen. I am so thankful and delighted for that. I really enjoyed the way in which you explained the writings of Jesus or the writings of God. You talk about him writing the commandments on stone, which signify that he doesn't want them to be erased, or, you know, it signifies that they stand forever.
Amen.
Then he wrote the sins of those men who were dragging that woman to him so that they can stone her. He wrote their sins on the sand, which signifies that sins can be forgiven.
Amen.
And that is such a blessing. The sins wouldn't stand forever. The commandments stand, but the sins don't have to stand. We don't have to take our sins with us. Our sins can be forgiven. They can be washed away. As a matter of fact, that is why he came. And then You talk about him writing his law in our hearts now so that we don't even have to look. We just have to think. We just have to believe in him and obey him. And then, you know, his Holy Spirit in us is going to guide us into doing the things that are right and to staying away from doing the things that are wrong. And so Amen. That was just a tremendous teaching, and I'm so thankful for that. And I'm going to open up the line to everyone just now. But I want to ask you something. We were looking at the topic of being in Christ and that there is no condemnation. We see that Jesus right. did not condemn the woman. But those right. who are in Christ Jesus, we looked at 2 Corinthians 5:17, and we also looked at Romans 8 and verse 1 last week. And so I wanted to ask you, since you're here, Pastor, how would you explain condemnation? Someone had asked that question. What is condemnation?
Well, when we're condemned, that means that we are charged guilty.
Mm.
When you if somebody's on trial, condemned, if they're charged as guilty. Maybe if someone robbed a bank or stole, they're condemned. But the law actually condemns us. The law of the land condemns us if we do wrong and we're charged. But Jesus didn't come to condemn or to charge us guilty. He knows we're already guilty, of course. But he didn't come to charge us guilty. He came to cleanse us.
Forgive.
He died for our sins, so they're already paid in full. The penalty's already been paid, and we don't have to bear the penalty for our sins. We don't have to bear that condemnation. So Paul says there's no condemnation if we're in Christ Jesus. But if we reject Jesus, then our sins do condemn us, and in the end we'll be lost because the wages of sin is death. So it's a serious matter, really. Very important.
So then ours is the task to make sure that we know where we are. As a matter of fact, that was the topic last week we were studying. Where are you? Where are you? Because, you know, in that text there in Corinthians, it says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, right?
Amen.
All things are passed away, and behold, all things become new.
And
some
Christ,
ask the question also, yeah.
If we're in Christ,
anyone,
he's written it on our minds too. He's doing that.
Right.
Yes.
And someone asked the question also, if you are in Christ, do you sin or could you commit a sin after that?
Well,
what do you think
yes.
about that question?
I'm going to answer it very quickly. Here's what it says in the Gospel of 1 John. In 1 John chapter 2, and it says this. Let me get the exact verse now. 1 John chapter 2. I've got to find the exact verse. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar. Truth is not in him. So if we know him, we're not going to deliberately go out and sin. We're not going to deliberately go out and do wrong, right? But
yes.
go back to chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So if we say we have no sin, well, that's certainly wrong. So, yes, we do make mistakes, but our sins are accidents as Christians and not deliberately rebelling against God. Could I put it that way?
Yeah.
In other words, we do make mistakes. You know, it's like a child learning to walk. Does a child learn to walk all at once? No. He may fall and then gets up again. And as Christians, we do that too. But sin is not something we delight in. It's something that's an accident, if I could put it that way. And run to Jesus and say, oh, Lord, I failed, but please forgive me, and genuinely mean it. It doesn't mean we can just deliberately sin and then run to Jesus, but forgive me, and then deliberately sin. No, that would make mockery of the whole thing. But yes, we do make mistakes. Does that
It's a growing process. Yes, it is. I think that was what we were saying last week when we left off. I think it's a growing process. And just like how he told Nicodemus that when you are born again, you know, it's like a new birth. So like you said, you have to start walking. And then as you grow day by day, you become more and more like Christ. And as you become more like him and you are drawn by his Holy Spirit to get closer to him, then you would find that you wouldn't delight in doing things that are wrong. The things that are wrong, when you do them, you would get a sense of how wrong it is, and you would stay away from it. You know, just like the woman that was caught in adultery, when Jesus says, hey, I'm not going to condemn you, but he said to her, go and sin no more. He didn't tell her to, you know, go back living the same life that you were living before, but he says, go and sin no more. In other words, start that new life, start the new walk. And then he promised that he's going to be with us always. So we are not walking alone as we walk the new walk and we live the new life. And that is such a blessing.
Go ahead. I think we have to be realistic. Yes, we do fall and make mistakes. But Jesus is there to catch us and say, I'm not condemning you. Learn to trust me more. Keep coming close to me. I'll help you. I love
you,
and
together
we can do it.
Yes. And in that same book, you said 1 John 1, chapter verse 9, it says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that is what we see happen with the woman that was caught in adultery, you know. He was faithful and just to forgive us, and he is faithful and just to forgive us. And then once he forgive, he says, go and sin no more. Or, as the song says, we have to start walking in the sunlight, walking in the light, and not, you know, walk in darkness as before we
sin. You don't go back to the old way of life.
No. It's a new life in Jesus Christ. But it's a growth. It's a growth. We don't just become holy and righteous all of a sudden, but we grow up into him. All right, I'm going to open up the lines, and everyone else who would like to come in and, you know, maybe make a comment, or if you would like to ask a question or a prayer request, now is the time to do so. We have a few minutes left before we are through for today. But again, I'm so thankful, Pastor. Thank you for that study. Thank you for the insights that were shared with us. And we just want to open up the lines to anyone who would like to make a comment or, you know, share something, ask a question. Now is the time to do so. Who is going to be the first? I know you've been listening, you've been taking in everything that was said, but you can, you know, share something. If you have something to say, you know, share with us at this time, we would like you to do so. Anyone?
This is Francis, and I thank God for the word. I thank him for what he did. But you know that he didn't condemn her, but go and sin no more. You know? And he says the same thing to us each and every day. And as you were saying, you know, we go closer and closer. And, and by the writing as he was writing on the ground, I believe he was writing each one's sins down.
Mm-hmm.
As they read their sins, they were leaving.
Yes.
Because he said, he that has not sinned, throw the first stone, you know. And
right.
So they see their sins and all.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that it was a setup. I believe that they was trying Jesus, you know, to see what he would say. So they will have something to go back and to report. So I thank God for the word, and I thank God for each and every one of you all that are here today. And I don't know why I said my name or not, but I'm Francis. Praise God.
And thank you. Amen.
Blessed day.
Thank you, Sister Francis. And you're right. I believe it was a setup, too, because either way, they were trying to see what they can, you know, if they can bring a charge against Jesus.
Right.
It had
right.
more to do with him rather than the woman.
Mm-hmm. More
herself.
About Jesus than
but,
about the
But
woman.
You know what, Sister Francis? They underestimated who they were dealing with.
That's right.
They
That's
didn't
right.
know that Jesus is all wise and all powerful. And so
yes,
he said, you know what,
yes.
you guys want to stone somebody, go ahead. Don't throw the stone, but just make sure that you don't have any sin of your own, you know. And,
right,
you know,
right.
When he started to write all the crooked things that they were doing, then, you know,
mm-hmm.
they started to leave one by one.
One by
and
one.
Was
the
oldest
one first. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. Isn't God wonderful? Isn't Jesus
is.
Wonderful?
A wonderful yes. God, the awesome God we serve.
Yes, yes, indeed. Indeed. All right, we have time for one more comment. One more thought. Anyone else?
I just want to thank God for the messenger and for the message, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We had a big feast this evening, so we can
yes.
get that spiritual nourishment to continue on this Jesus journey. So I'm very thankful. I also want to be thankful. We have a pair of twins that live across from our house, and one of them was going through treatment for leukemia for 3 years, and on Tuesday the mother came over and shared with us that she is leukemia free, praise God, after her.
Amen.
So, give God the glory, and I'm very thankful because God is a merciful God, and His mercy is new every morning, you know. Great is His faithfulness, just
Amen.
Like His mercy and His grace and forgiving was with this adulterous woman, is with you and with me also. Praise God. We
Amen.
Serve an awesome, good, great God.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank God. Yeah. All right. At this time, we're going to do our closing prayer. And I just want you to know that my wife is on the line with us today. And I'm so thankful that she's here.
Praise
and
God.
Yes. Yes. And I'm going to ask her to do the closing prayer. So just close, her, close us out in prayer. As we bring this wonderful sitting to a close.
Our Father and our God, we want to thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace to each and every one of us. We want to thank you for your peace that passes all understanding. Father God in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You are so wonderful to us. In spite of who we are, you still love us. In spite of the things that we do and the many times we turn away from you, you still love us and reach out to us, not in condemnation, but in love, in mercy and grace. We thank you. We thank you, O God, for sparing our lives through the week, for keeping us, protecting us from accidents and dangers. We thank you for your provision, providing and making sure that we had enough to eat and all that we needed. Father God, we give you the honor, the praise, and the glory for another opportunity to serve you and to serve each other. We pray, O God, that you continue to be with us, continue to watch over us, and continue to reach out to you, whom to know is life eternal.
Mm-hmm.
We pray for each and every person listening. We pray, O God, that our hearts will be turned to you, our eyes will be lift heavenward because we know that your coming is soon. Help us to keep looking for you, Father God. Help us to reach out to others and let them know that you are on your way. We thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Ah, thank you.
Praise
the Lord for that prayer, yes. And good night, everyone. I want to thank you so much for listening.
Good night.
And just remember to keep Brother Wendell's family in prayer. His service is going to be tomorrow. The funeral, the service tomorrow evening, and then the burial, I think, is on Sunday. So let's keep them in prayer. And remember, God loves you, and so do I. Be blessed, and we'll see you next week, same place, same time. And please do invite a friend so that others can share in this wonderful feast that we have been enjoying from week to week. And I want to say to you all, happy Thanksgiving. Thursday is Thanksgiving Day, so a happy Thanksgiving to one and all. God bless you, my friend.
Happy Thanksgiving to you all. Happy
Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yes.
God bless.
Yes.
God bless you all.
Yes. Okay. Amen.
Amen.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for allowing me to see myself the way you see me. Thank you.
It was hard. Being in love with someone.
like me. Those that struggle with insecurities, acceptance, and even self-esteem. You never felt good enough. You never felt pretty enough. But imagine God whispering in your ear, letting you know that everything that has happened is now.
Gone, gone,
it's all gone.
All gone.
Every sin,
gone,
every mistake,
gone,
every failure,
gone,
it's all gone.
All gone.
Depression,
gone,
gone. By faith,
gone,
it's gone.
All gone.
Low self-esteem,
gone,
hallelujah,
gone,
it's gone.
You may be watching them yourself. That's what I'm trying to teach you. When you